Welcome to Behind the Curtain, Nashville's Movers, Shakers,
and Tastemakers,
brought to you by Cord Real Estate, your key to the heart of Nashville. I'm Steve Luther alongside my co-host, Van Hoy.
Here we peel back the layers of Nashville's vibrant scene, sitting down with the innovators, creators, and leaders who shape our city. From music to business and everything in between, we dive into the journeys that have brought them to where they are today.
We're here to uncover the stories behind the success, the passion driving their pursuits, and why they've chosen Nashville as their stage. It's about the people who dream big, push boundaries, and make this city truly unique.
So join us as we explore the heart and soul of Nashville through the eyes of those who know it best.
Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Curtain. We have the privilege of sitting with John Doliana today, co-founder and CEO of Grace Concierge Medicine. This unique travel health company specializes in staffing medics on film productions, music tours, and providing medical training to law enforcement officers and hospitals. With an ambitious mission to be the second largest employers of veterans in the U.S., I want to hear more about that, behind the federal government, John's leadership is not just changing the healthcare landscape, but is also paving the way for veterans employment. Grace Concierge Medicine's comprehensive services, from tour medical support to government training, showcase John's dedication to operational excellence, healthcare innovation, and his profound commitment to service.
Welcome. Wow.
Welcome, John.
No small feat.
Cheers.
And we just launched our third line of service as well.
Oh, yeah? What's the third line?
So we're actually doing in-home health as well. So patient visits and things like that.
Okay. Wow. Well, so let's start with talking about your transition from being a hospital corpsman in the Navy to CEO of Grace Concierge. How has your military service influenced your approach to healthcare management?
Sure. So I have I have six deployments: two in Iraq, two in Afghanistan, one on the USNS Comfort. And then another one in Chicago during the whole COVID mission.
Oh, wow. That's the one you can't talk about, right?
Well, that was the Navy boot camp. So, I mean, you know, tests and all that kind of stuff. But
so they tested it on you first?
Probably.
Yeah.
My tracker still says charged.
Hey!
So as a corpsman, being out on the battlefield and stuff like that, my scope of practice is very broad. So whatever physician says, hey, I need you to do, I can do. But that skill set doesn't transfer into the civilian world at all. There's that, like, I can't even pat, like, you can't come out and then, like, hey, I want to test out to be a paramedic. Nope. EMT? Nope. General medical assistant. And so there's this huge medical community coming off active duty from the Army, Navy, Air Force. And these guys have phenomenal medical training, but they can't do anything with it in civilian
right.
world. Mm-hmm. And so I, by happenstance, ended up on tour with Green Day as a medic and kind of realized that being on tour is like a miniature deployment.
Yeah.
And so we worked with Green Day and we kind of built this out. And so that was really the start of Grace Concierge Medicine. And so now we're just trying to leverage the touring and film industry to give combat medics, corpsmen, a place that they can go, because in the state of Tennessee, as a medical assistant, the law says that they just operate at the discretion of a physician. So we can bring in veteran providers, so doctors, nurses, PAs that all served in the military and understand kind of how this works, hire them, and then give these combat medics that have no other home a place, marry them together, and now they can go on tour and they can do all of these things. And so it's exactly like being in the military for them, but then we're covering all these music tours, film sets, and everything else that's going on.
So do they have to be a veteran to work for you?
No, they don't. Right now, that's our primary focus, because those guys coming off the battlefield already have the skill set. So that if you guys, you know, I'm sure you both travel, but if you're like, hey, we're going to L.A., we want to take somebody with us. Well, I could just send you one of my medics. They would travel with you.
Right.
And then if you wanted B12, IVs, whatever you wanted, they could just do all that for you on the spot.
Got it.
If you needed, like, hey, man, I'm just not feeling good. I don't feel sick. Then we could just do a telehealth visit with one of our local providers, get you the prescription you need. That medic can go pick it up. And then you know, get you taken care of while you're on the road. And so you don't ever miss a beat.
How do you deal with the issues? Like, because there's not a doctor present, it's okay, like with practicing medicine or whatever the legal, I don't know, you know.
So right now, we do have some changes that we're trying to make. But right now, how we're getting around that is through telehealth visits that was all opened up by COVID.
Got it. Okay. Through the telehealth.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
Cool.
So let's talk about this idea of concierge. So we've talked to a couple of other people in the healthcare industry about the same concept, more personalized healthcare. What kind of inspired you to adopt that model, and how does that give you a point of differentiation with traditional healthcare providers?
So one thing about us is we will never take insurance. Everything we do is cash pay. And the reason for that is because the moment you take insurance, you have to bow down to the government, Medicare. And not that we're ever trying to do anything wrong, but the moment you say, hey, we're going to take Medicare, everything you do is subject to their guidelines, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go to a hospital right now and you see a doctor for whatever, they have to go through certain steps to get insurance to cover that final result. Well, if you never took insurance and everything was cash pay, one, it would be significantly cheaper. And then two, you don't have to follow all of those insurance guidelines. And so then your doctors, nurses, providers are all able to actually do medicine for you and not the insurance company.
Mm.
And so just a general hatred of insurance. Right. It's kind of what led this. So I started PA school to be a physician's assistant in January 22. And just kind of getting into medicine officially and then learning how bad it actually is for doctors and providers. It's just like, we can make a change. We can do something different. And so I just realized that being on the business side of it, I can make a bigger change than I could on a clinical side.
Mm. So I was in the music business for 25 plus years, and some of our tours, we had medical people come out. Sometimes we had counselors come out, you know, there are all different kinds of folks who would come out sometimes and tour with us. Is it somebody that has an MA or a CNA? Do you have a specific certification that is a bare minimum that's out there?
Sure. So like for our combat medics and our veterans that we're bringing on board, we hire them as medical assistants. And
okay.
So they do carry that certification.
Got it.
And then as far as most of the civilians, the handful of civilians that we have working with us are like RNs, they're nurses.
Got it. And so they're under the quote unquote supervision of a doctor, a provider, or whatever.
Yep.
Back at an office somewhere.
Yep. So we have a DO as our chief medical officer, and then cool. We have a PA as our chief medical director.
Very cool.
So I'm sure this comes from the military to some extent, but you talk about the importance of operational efficiency and team building. What strategies have you implemented to kind of make that happen in your business?
So operationally, that's kind of how we keep our costs down. Mm-hmm. is by using this whole telehealth thing, right? Because I mean, for a doctor to go on a tour, I mean, if you want it, we can do it, but it's extremely expensive.
Sure.
Of course. And so, but to be able to keep costs down and operationally streamline that whole process is why we use combat medics, corpsmen, things like that, because they already know how to do the sit call. They already know how to do the physical exams. And so that's really kind of where how that works. And then as far as like the teamwork, that's why we're trying our model, and the way we've built out each branch of our business is off of military medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already super familiar to everybody. There's no, you know, 2-week computer training course.
Right.
Of,
you don't have the same learning curve.
Yeah. And so it's more of a natural fit. And so that's how we've been able to keep and maintain and attract attention for these guys.
Yeah. I know there's, well, hopefully there's not concerns about shrapnel and things like that, but I guess nowadays you never know. How many of your guys have had like combat experience where, you know, there's like some serious.
So you have to have at least one combat tour at a minimum for us to be willing to consider you to put you on the road. And that's a couple of reasons for that. One, I need you to have the experience, because if something bad does happen on stage, like an LED panel falls on somebody, like happened in Korea, like I need you to be able to handle that.
Right.
The other thing is I don't need you backstage with an artist like, oh my God, can I get a selfie? Right. And so most of your combat veterans that have been in those situations
don't care.
There's like, cool, it's, you know, Green Day, Disturbed, whatever. You know, so it's just that. That's kind of why.
What was kind of the inspiration behind focusing on music tours and film production and that kind of thing?
So I don't actually know how many music tours go out on the road every year, but let's just say 100, right? Okay. Just for number's sake. And there's average 100 people with a tour. Mm-hmm. So that's 1,000 people a year that while they're on the road get absolutely no healthcare, right? And so the artist or the management, when they're going to all these different places, are paying rock docs or whoever to come on board. Well, that in and of itself is bad, because that doctor or whoever is seeing you at that point doesn't necessarily know what you did yesterday or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And so there's no continuity of care. And so just being on the road and seeing that, hey, like, this needs to be addressed, especially on the artist side with depression, a lot of the medications they're on, they're now away from their primary care provider, but who's managing their medications? Who can they turn to when they're just like, hey, dude, I'm just not feeling it today. But what are they going to turn to their band? No offense to band managers, but what are they going to turn to their band manager?
Hey now.
Van's got some stories about,
or their tour manager, right? They want their show to go on.
That's right.
I'm not saying that any of those people by any stretch of the imagination would downplay those things.
Of course.
But as somebody who's doing the performing, who do you turn to?
Yeah.
And so by having that provider on hand, or that medic, somebody that is outside of all of it, on hand all the time.
So wanting to be such a large employer of veterans, that's a really worthy goal. I really appreciate that. What do you think that has been the impact of that on your company culture?
Well, I'm a veteran. One of our co-founders, Garrison Hughes, he's a veteran. My wife is the only one of us that started this that is not our chief medical officer. He's a veteran. He's actually getting ready to retire from the Navy. He's been in 20-something years. Our medical director, Nathan Kurtzy, he's been in almost 20. And then two of the other guys have both been in. They're both Navy. They've been in a significant amount of time. And so just the people that we're interviewing and talking to and just having on hand all have significant time. I want to do it because not for the status of saying, hey, I got 10,000 veterans working for me. I could really care less about that.
Sure.
It's really because it's just a natural home. There's a lot of people who come back from deployments and they miss even just being on the road, right? That camaraderie. And after being on tour and seeing how these guys razzle each other up, and you know, there's the name calling and all
this. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's really at the end of the day, it's just dudes picking on dudes to just kind of kill some time. But that's how in the military, that's how deployment is. You got tons of downtime with a whole lot of, oh my gosh, why are we not doing this right now? Followed by, all right, well, I guess we got 3 hours to kill, you know? Yeah. So it's almost an exact fit. And so it's really easy to just transition that. And it's like, why not get veterans at home?
Yeah.
Do you have more than one person out on a tour?
So that depends on the tour, the length of it, and what they want. Like when we were working with Green Day, that actually, the only reason we're not on tour with them is because it was a timing issue. But we were going to send two medics with them and then leave our provider here.
Got it.
So I guess you're still probably somewhat plugged in the military, but how do you recruit?
Facebook. Just all the different veterans groups. I'm in 19 different veterans groups. And so I joined all of them probably roughly about a year ago and just kind of sat quietly in the background just watching, because I mean, just like in every other job in the world, you've got good people that do their job and you've got bad people that do their job. Right. And so I just kind of sat and watched. And then as things have popped up, I've just put out advertisements solely in those communities.
So you've been out on a Green Day tour. I'm sure you've done some other productions and tours and things. There's got to be some interesting stories from this. Like
what's, you can't what's say the name of the band and ask for a story.
Don't say the name of the band.
Oh, like, my gosh.
What's something crazy that went down that it's like, thank God they hired you guys, because it could have gone very differently.
Well, so I was out with a band on a tour, and they were asking for B12 injections, right?
Okay.
Which is nothing crazy, right? That's right. Pretty simple, straightforward stuff. But they're like, hey, we want a full dose before every show. And I was like, well, guys, I can't do that. And they're like, why? I was like, well, we're doing like 19 shows in 30 days. I was like, it's nuts. I was like, that's 19 full doses. That's four times the legal limit. And then for two, you'll have B12 overdose. I'm like, well, what does that look like? I was like, dude, you'll be shaking. It'll look like you have Parkinson's disease. Like, it's just not a great idea. Oh, well, nobody ever explained that to us.
Right.
I was like, what do you mean? And like, they always just show up and give it to us. I was like, and that's why you need somebody out there the entire time.
I'm thinking the music scene must have changed or something, because if they're overdosing on B12 now, that's the drug of choice.
Well, that's what he can talk about on camera.
You gotta remember, HIPAA covers a lot of things, so
That's fair.
been on call. I mean, there's been some times where when we go out, like, we don't travel specifically. We travel with the band, but mostly it's with the crew. Unless the band security is like, hey, we want you on call to be there. And there have been some instances where I've gone to parties dressed as security, had my little backpack, sat in the corner, just did my thing. And then was just there in case, something bad happened. And then at the end of the night, maybe did an IV, maybe took care of some other things for them so that the next day they were ready to be on the show.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a service you offer called Stop the Bleed Training. Talk a little bit about that. How did that come about? What's been the response to that?
So Stop the Bleed is a free course that we offer. And it's basically just, you guys have heard of like active shooter courses and stuff.
Sure.
Like that, right. The run, hide, fight. Well, Stop the Bleed is like the tail end of that. Okay. So the active shooter is either happening or it's gone. And now we have somebody laying here bleeding. What do we do about it?
Right.
I don't know. Kevin's over here bleeding now. And so Stop the Bleed is just a very quick, down and dirty 4-hour course on what to do. Mm-hmm. Right. So put on a tourniquet, pressure dressing, how to do those things. And then at the tail end, we have kits that we offer for sale to say, hey, like, you can put one of these in an office. So we work with a school system in Nashville that has had some incidents in the past. And we work with their security and got first aid kits put on, like, all their little side-by-sides that they use for all the sports teams and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Individual first aid kits for their nurses, their security team. And so we can partner with schools. We have a relationship with North American Rescue, which is one of the largest dealers of trauma supplies in the United States. And so if you guys were like, hey, we want all of our real estate agents to have an IFAC, we would say, okay, well, this is what we think would probably work best for you. And then you would open it up and say, well, we don't need needle decompression stuff in here, but we would love to have an extra tourniquet. And so then we would take what you guys want and then build it through North American Rescue, and then they would be able to build that for us for you.
Very cool.
So it's like either take his class or watch an episode of The Equalizer, right?
So when you're going into schools with this kind of thing, is it like the nurses that are doing this training, or is it like the entire staff or the teachers?
It's up to the school.
Know?
It's entirely up to the school. We recommend that everybody in the school takes it.
Right. Wow.
Right, because if there's a school shooting, who's in the classroom?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it a paramedic? Probably not.
Right.
I mean, just by happenstance, they were next door when it happened. More than likely, it's the teacher. Right. And so if a child is injured in some kind of way, the teacher is going to be that first line. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate to talk about. I mean, should a teacher ever have to have medical trauma training? Right. Absolutely not. But unfortunately, in today's world, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know when somebody's going to lose their mind. There's just a church shooting during the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so why not take it? It's 4 hours.
Right.
And you could save a life.
Yeah. you've got a sort of a comprehensive approach to medical training, including tactical combat casualty care, various Red Cross courses. What have been, you know, some of the challenges that you've had kind of delivering this content, and have you been able to overcome those challenges?
So the biggest challenge that we're facing, especially with law enforcement right now, is that they're using internal sources to teach it, right? And so not that Billy Bob State Trooper is not qualified to teach right. it, but we are in medicine, right? And so that this is what we do. So the advantage to having us come out here is if you have a question, we can anatomically and medically answer it mm-hmm. in a way that you can understand instead of just going, I don't know, that's what the book says.
right.
The book says give him an airway, so give him an airway, right? So we can actually explain why, how, all that kind of stuff works. And so the biggest challenge that we've had is getting the community to understand that just because somebody is teaching something doesn't mean they're the best qualified to teach it. I mean, the material is still getting out there, and I am thankful for that. But as a medical company, I believe that we're more qualified to be able to teach these things because the people that are teaching it are medically qualified. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that the members of the law enforcement appreciate that you're mostly all veterans?
Yeah. So, and then the other big thing is expense. I mean, law enforcement, so far what we've run into with the multiple departments that we've worked with is that even though if they book us, we come out, we teach the course. It's 3 days for the law enforcement. It's a 3-day course. We come out, we teach them. They're certified in it for 2 years. And we give them an individual first aid kit that they can either carry in their car, carry on a belt, wherever. The departments still just don't want to pay for it because they can get Billy Bob to come in and teach it every other Saturday for free.
Gotcha.
And so just overcoming that objection of the cost
right.
has been a big thing because departments, especially nowadays, have an extremely limited budget. And the last thing they really want to spend it on is outside medical training.
Mm.
Is it just, it'd be too hard to answer questions. Well, I mean, obviously it wouldn't be present to answer, but to do it as like an online on-demand kind of training.
Yeah. So we're actually looking and doing that right now.
Okay.
And setting up like, what would that look like? How would they register for it?
Even if it was continuing ed after they did the first thing that last 2 years,
sure.
The ongoing could be.
The issue that we've kind of run into with that, and we're really addressing, is how do we address any questions that they have mm-hmm. live right there, right?
Mm.
And so just because somebody can, we've all played to watch the videos and the PowerPoint, right. And about 20 minutes into it, you're just like, this is terrible. And so one, how to make it. And then two, as part of the curriculum, you have to actually test out of it. So you physically have to be able to show how to put a tourniquet on,
right.
How to do a pressure dressing. And so how do we get around that? Is it something we can say, hey, one person is going to come out, you guys are going to watch all the videos, and then we'll send a couple people out the last day to do your practical application.
Mm-hmm.
But then you run into the problem of now we have all these guys that have only watched videos, and now we're trying to do
right.
practical application,
right.
and they have no idea how to actually do it.
Right.
Sure.
And so you're spending the whole day teaching them how to do the skills, when if they did just pay for it up front and you'd done it in person, you'd have gotten it.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about this concierge medicine that he does for that they've just expanded into, where it's you're doing it in private homes and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so about that.
Like I remember watching, there was the TV show like on FX or something for years.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I was like, I want that. He's up in the Hamptons, you know, something happens, they slip, they fall, this great, cool doctor and his quirky brother show up, and you know, they fix everything. And
sure, it's very similar to that. The only thing that, obviously, if you fall and break your leg, please go to a hospital.
Right.
Don't call me. I am not gonna fix your broken leg.
I mean, do you have a helicopter like he did? You know, you fly in, like what do you do?
I mean, that would be cool to have one day. Right
yeah.
now we do not have a run. and I think Amex would probably decline that transaction.
Right? I keep telling Steve we need cord copter. We need cord copter.
There's no place to land in Nashville.
I know, that's it's nuts.
I mean, I'm sure you could land on a couple of rooftops, but by the time you get down, yeah, walk, it would have been faster.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, so
tell us how that works. Like tell us about this program.
Yeah. So,
is it in Nashville? Is it
Middle Tennessee?
All over Middle Tennessee. Okay.
So how it's been working is the artist assistant or whatever will call us and let us know, hey, generally this is what's going on. So we, one of our first clients was a songwriter, and I don't know all the backstory on it, but she was having some kind of allergic reaction. And it's just something like we can't take care of at home, because if something else happens and we're not there to monitor it, like, we just can't do it. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not afraid to tell somebody, hey, listen, we're not the one for you. And I will 100% facilitate the proper care. So we just worked with a local urgent care and facilitated them being able to come in the side door, get seen, take care of everything.
I got
a provider that was taking care of them. And then a week later they called us and they're like, hey, she's still not feeling well. And so we went out there, saw her, did a physical exam, did a telehealth visit with a provider, got all the prescriptions taken care of, everything was good to go.
So it's more for people of note or position, not somebody who can just sign up for your service.
No, I mean, anybody can call us. Our starting fee is $600 a visit.
Okay.
But that covers everything from the travel, the providers, us going to get the prescriptions for you, all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And then it goes up from there, you know. Do you want an IV? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know.
Right.
It's really good for somebody that wants privacy.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that because we don't take insurance, some people are like, well, I'd rather just build against my insurance. But if you look at what an ER, like, even if you have Blue Cross Blue Shield, look at what an ER visit is going to cost you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're still coming in significantly cheaper than that.
Very likely. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Now, are there plans to expand that into other markets or?
Sure. Yeah. So we're kind of following the Tesla model on that, where we're opening it up, not only for A-list clientele, but for the people who can until we've built it up enough. And then we can start offering not discounted services, because the quality of care that my people provide, I'll fire you. If I find out, like, hey, we gave substandard care, or they weren't happy with you. Nope, not going to do that. Not playing those games. Just not going to do it. But being able to reduce the rate for us to visit will come when we have volume.
Sure.
And so then we can open it up to more and more people.
Very cool. What are your long-term plans for Grace? Like, where do you see the company going? What are your big goals?
Oof, they're all over the place. They're up there. So one of the things with our concierge medicine, what we're going to do is move into medical real estate. And what we would like to do with that is either partner with major apartment complexes or build them and just take like the main building, mm-hmm. right? So building one, and then turn the first floor into an urgent care, raise the rates, whatever, to cover the overhead. And so then the people of that place say they get $100 visits regardless of whatever they want. But then the people in the community, because all of the overhead is already covered, can come in and get reduced cost services as well.
Hmm. Interesting. I guess it's kind of like, I mean, it's almost like assisted living in a way. It's like a, you know,
or
like
an in-house gym,
like a senior facility.
Most of it's going to be urgent care kind of stuff. Right. So, but we're talking, I mean, who are your average people renting apartments?
Sure. Yeah, it's fair.
Right. I mean, it's not grandma and grandpa.
Right.
Now that does happen. I'm not saying 100%, but most of them are, kids out of college, haven't quite bought their first house yet. So the age demographic we're looking at is probably early to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I would say not all the time, but most. And so you're not really, those guys aren't coming in like for everything, but they will come in and be like, hey, dude, I'm sick. Right. And if they're there for a year and they've come in two or three times, we can now provide that continuity of care.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, dude, you've been in for the same thing three times. Maybe we should look a little deeper into this. Right. And so then we can provide better care.
It's the American way. I love it. Blows my mind.
So we want to do that. Like that's our medical side of things. For our training, we want to, I would love to be the sole provider for medical training for the entire U.S. government. And we're chasing up that tree right now. And then it doesn't even have to be my company. I want every tour that leaves American soil, whether it stays here or goes abroad, to have medical support that goes with it.
Wow.
You take security with you. You take lights. You take an electrician, even though you don't necessarily need an electrician because everything was planned out already. So why not?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's I'm just thinking a lot of the guys that tour are younger. You know, I remember when I was younger.
They're not all younger.
Thought I was, well, they're not.
There's a lot of legacy coming but feeling back on the road.
A lot of them.
I mean, a lot of them, you know, probably still think they're invincible.
Well, yeah.
And so they probably just don't even really think about
And the since need for it. Since it's never been done, it's definitely trying to change an entire industry, right?
Right.
But we're not just there for the artist. We're there for the crew, management, everybody. And especially the crew, I mean, for the longest, I mean, you take 60 to 100 people from around the United States and you're stuffing them into buses. And then 2 weeks later, everybody's like, well, I'm just sick. I'll just have to get over it. Well, yeah, but why do you have to suffer? Why don't we just take somebody with you that can handle those prescriptions if it's,
right,
you know, antibiotics, whatever, and just be on the tour and just keep everybody healthy. And then besides that, accidents happen all the time, especially when you're trying to do a 2 hour loadout to get everything jammed into 30 semi trucks. It happens. And so we're there to handle that. And the advantage to that is that, like, we had a dude on one of our tours. He was stepping over one of the main electrical lines during loadout. So he steps over it, but he's not looking up because he's watching him drag this electrical line.
Yeah.
Doesn't see that they're lowering all the panels. Split his head open, right? Well, that traditionally he'd have probably been off the road for at least a couple days because he'd have gone to an urgent care. This was in Italy. And then by the time the urgent care saw him, we're out. So now we got to pay to get him a hotel for a couple days. We got to get somebody to get him on the next show because we have another load in the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we were able to see him, take care of him, and have him back out there in 20 minutes.
Who would be the decision maker for something like that on a tour? Like, is it the artist that's going to push that? Is it the
artist management? If the management's typically putting a tour together with, well, it depends, because there's a lot of people putting the tour together. So
yeah, that's what I say. There's so many elements to it. Like, I don't know who the driver is for something like that.
Well, I think the obvious is starting with management.
So from what our experience has been, having production and tour management on board off the get is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest thing, but it depends on where you're trying to pay for it from, right? Because basically on a tour, you have your two fixed pots of money. We know this cost, and then you have the one on the back end, like somebody gets hurt, we're going to pay
it
out of this. Mm-hmm. But that's the money that management all gets pulled out of. And so, for instance, we just missed a tour because they were trying to shift all of the cost out of that ancillary money back to the venues. So they went to all of the venues to try and negotiate so that the venues would cover it. Well, it ended up being like $8,000 a show, which is not, for a venue, it's not a huge amount. But the date, the money, everything, checks have been written, everything was already scheduled. And so the venues were like, pound sand, dude, we're not paying that.
Right.
And so it really just depends on what they're willing to spend versus what they're trying to get other people to cover. So, you know, if you're trying to get the venue to cover it, well, then it's going to need to be band management that's advocating for that, because they're going to know as that process is happening. Now, if all the money's done and settled, then it's going to be tour management or production managers that are really advocating for it.
Yeah, because they might be the ones, they're the ones that are hiring all the different crew. The artist manager doesn't hire the crew. And if it became just a line item on the production sheet.
Right. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get it to where it's just
part of that,
a line item on the sheet. And so it's just it's not necessarily a fixed cost, but everybody knows that, hey, we know we got to have a doctor. So, all right, let's just go ahead and add 8,000 a show.
Because there are some tours that bring a personal trainer.
Sure.
You know, there'll be
of course,
that sort of thing.
Or they'll bring a massage therapist. They bring a handful of things, and we can offer all of those services as well. And then they're covered under medical malpractice. And so then you're guaranteed as a tour to have somebody who's qualified to be there doing those things.
So interesting.
Well, if someone wants to get a hold of you guys, either, you know, to hire you for a tour or production or for a concierge.
Or their vet who's got experience and wants to be hired.
Or they want to be hired. What's the best way for someone to reach out to you guys?
Either my cell phone number, which is on the website, or just on the website, there's a contact us. And then it's got two different ways if you're either a customer or you're trying to seek employment.
And it's graceconciergemedicine.com.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, John, I appreciate you coming on the show today.
And, thanks for having me. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you. And I guess we'll see you guys next time.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of Behind the Curtain, Nashville's Movers, Shakers,
and Tastemakers.
We hope you've been inspired by the stories of passion, perseverance, and innovation right here in Nashville.
A big thank you to our guests for sharing their journeys and to you, our listeners, for joining us. And of course, our gratitude to Accord Real Estate for making this conversation possible.
Don't forget to follow or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform.
Thank us.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I guess I did. Well, thank us. Okay.
Like I was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to follow or subscribe on your favorite platform to catch every episode and hit that notification bell. We've got plenty more fascinating guests lined up, ready to share their insights and inspirations.
And we love hearing from you. So reach out to us with your thoughts, questions, or suggestions for who you'd like to hear from next.
Until next time, keep chasing your dreams and making your mark in Nashville.
Oh, my goodness. Remember, am I talking to Casey
Kasem? It's the people behind the scenes that make the city shine.
I love it. Take care. See you behind the curtain.